It's a gray, smoky day outside as the fires and the have all conspired to just take away our sun, take away our clouds, take away the color of the sky. It's sort of like, it looks like it's going to rain, to tell you the truth, but I think it's just because we have so much stuff in the sky. That's why we're going to fill the sky with our radio signal, larger than life, larger than ever. New York Vinny joins me for another Friday afternoon. Hey, Vinny, how are you?
I'm good, Mikey. How you doing?
We're doing fine. I'm just sitting here looking out my window onto the Avenue of Dreams, and a Toyota Tundra drives by, and I thought, well, that guy's modified his hood, but apparently that's the way they come. Can you explain that to me?
Well, I can try to explain it to you. The 2018 Toyota Tundra, which is their big pickup truck, they have a couple of them. This is the big one. Also one named Tacoma, which we won't go into at this time, but the Toyota Tundra redesigned last year, and, you know, a nice truck. I don't know that it always meets up to the same standard as the, Fords or the Rams or the Chevys, but it's still a very good truck. But they wanted something to stand out. So they have what they call a TRD, or Toyota Racing Division, and what they do is they beef the truck up off-road. Four-wheel drive, it's got special Bilstein shocks in it, a whole bunch of other stuff. But they looked at the truck and they said, well, you know, what can we do to make this truck just a little bit different than everybody else? And they have a rear window, the whole rear window that goes down, but yet that wasn't enough. So the guy sitting around at Toyota, the design studio down there in Southern California, or maybe that's moved to Texas now too, with everything else with Toyota, decided, you know what? We have this one air scoop that's at the top of the grill that's standard on Toyota Tundra. But what we'll do is we'll take a second air scoop, like you see on the old GTOs. Remember the old Ram Air hood scoops that you used to see on top of the hoods of the GTOs and the Ford Cobra jets?
And they were big, too. They're like they were right over the carburetor or something.
Right, right. It would sit right over the carburetor, and and those scoops would force the air down into, they had like a big bowl under it, and it would force the cold air down into the carburetor, and they thought helped horsepower. Thought they gave it 10, 15, 20 more horsepower. Well, I have the Toyota Tundra SR Racing TRD Pro this week, which is about $56,000 worth of truck.
Wow.
I saw the two hood scoops. So, Mikey, I opened up the hood, climbed up on this thing, and I can't figure out what the two scoops are for.
What does it look like underneath the hood?
Well, there's a big old fuel injection, thing on top. There's no carburetor. There's no bowl. You're not forcing the air down into anything. I don't think you're cooling the motor. Maybe it's cooling the air, the brakes a little bit. I don't know, but that would be the lower scoop. But I'm just sitting there going, that second scoop. What's that second scoop for? And I guess you can just say that it's for nothing except show.
It's for show, just like everything in the car business. I mean, it's nice to have an automotive performance, but the rest of it is, a lot of it is in our heads, right? We're buying something to make us feel good when we drive down the street.
Well, I guess they figure if you're going to go for $56,000, that for a pickup truck that'll take you off road, it's a very good off road vehicle. I mean, if you're going to take a truck off road, the TRD, because it's raised up in the front and has a special setup for four-wheel drive and everything, and the extensions on the shocks and the Bilstein gas shocks. It's a great truck to do that with, but I'm going to spend the rest of my week now trying to figure out exactly what this second hood scoop does, or they just give it to you. Like, you know, when you go to the candy store and you'd spend, $25 in the candy store, and the guy would take a little box of candy and throw it in, just like a little extra because you spent that much money. Maybe that's what this is. It's Toyota throwing in something a little extra for you.
This is going to cost you 70 grand with tax. Here's an extra scoop. Enjoy it.
Exactly. What's life if you can't get two scoops, whether you're at the U-Totem drive-in or whether you're at, the Toyota dealer.
How does the Toyota sales stack up against the American products like Chevy, Ford, and Dodge when it comes to truck sales?
I think it's tough, Michael. I think Toyota has a tough thing. It's not that it's not a good truck, but it's just people, when they think truck, they think American. And even though this truck is built in the United States, it's built in Texas, there's just a stigma, I think, about a lot of people who want either a Ford or a Chevy or a Ram, because that's what, you know, they're used to. That's what their fathers drove. You know, trucks are very, it's a very personal thing. It's still an area, you know, you and I, our fathers may have driven Chevy and Oldsmobile and Ford or whatever, but somewhere along the line, we fell off the thing and started to buy Toyotas and Nissans and Mazdas and Kias and all those different cars. It's different with trucks because the foreign manufacturers came so late to this game, especially when it comes to big full-size trucks, that the loyalty, the brand loyalty is still there. If your father and your grandfather drove a Chevy truck, chances are you drive a Chevy truck as well.
That's right. That's absolutely right. It's fascinating. I'm sure they've done market studies on that. I can't sell you a Ford truck. You just won't buy one because your dad drove a Chevy.
Yeah. Now sometimes if the price point is different or sometimes people switch around. But my brother has a pickup. He drives a Chevy. I have an El Camino. That's a Chevy. We're a General Motors, a Chevy family. And that's the way we've stayed all along.
Yeah, my dad always bought Chevys. So we never had a Ford. Never in our life. You know, you'd look across the street and say, those strange, exotic animals called Fords, where do they come from?
Yeah. I mean, it's that one place in the automotive market where brand loyalty still means a lot. It's a connection. I think for a lot of people, it's a connection to their parents, that they buy that car because their parents bought that car.
Yep.
And Toyota just isn't there yet when it comes to that. It's not that it's a bad truck. It's not that it's any less valuable than the other trucks. But that's the biggest, I think, obstacle that both Toyota and Nissan face, especially that Nissan has that diesel Titan truck with the big Cummins diesel engine in it. It's a great truck. It'll pull down a house, but it's hard to get people to go into the showrooms to look at it because they don't equate that big truck with a foreign manufacturer, no matter how big it is. The only exception to that rule a little bit is the Honda Ridgeline. For some reason, that half a pickup truck, half a car type of deal there that they put out gets a little more loyalty because people are, you know, like their Hondas. But other than that, I think a foreign pickup truck, I hate to say it, it's tough for them.
One of the things that I remember is when they introduced the light trucks, the Japanese manufacturers found success. They were selling them to people who were running around town, who were gardening or maybe delivering. They didn't need a full-size truck. And entering the full-size truck market was very difficult for them because they said, look, our trucks are as big, as powerful, as reliant, as equal to the task as anything that Ford or Chevy makes, but they just couldn't sell it.
Right. And that's where, if you remember back into the 70s when they first came out with the little Nissan pickup truck and then the little Toyotas, the little Isuzus. Matter of fact, some of those trucks, they were so good that Chevy even took that truck and branded it as a Chevy, that little Isuzu truck. Branded it as a Chevrolet, what they called it, the Chevrolet Love pickup truck, L-U-V. And, you know, that was a popular one. And then Ford, of course, came along with they called it the Courier, the Ford Courier. That was a great little pickup truck that, you know, was really kind of meant for exactly what you're saying, somebody who didn't need a big pickup truck. Now, those pickup trucks are coming back in again because now we're starting to see the resurgence of, we have Chevrolet came out with the Colorado and the GMC Canyon for General Motors. Ford has a Ranger coming out, a brand new Ranger that just hit the streets Matter of fact, I think it'll be out in September for general sale. And then Ram's coming up with a smaller pickup truck. And those trucks right now, and of course now you have the luxury trucks too. Mercedes is coming out with a pickup truck.
What does that look like? Whoa. What does it look like?
Coming out with a pickup truck.
I want to drive one of those Mercedes.
It does. It looks like, remember the old the Cadillac funeral flower car?
Oh, God, yes.
Well, that's what it looks like. If you're in if you're in the mob, you probably want to get one.
If you're in the mob, you probably have one because you have to keep going to all the funerals. Hey, you wanted to tell me a story about Casey Kane, and I said that name sounds familiar, but I couldn't place him until you reminded me. But Casey's in the news today, right?
Yes, yeah, he announced yesterday that, and of course, Casey, the pride of Washington State, and out of Enumclaw, has been racing now for, I believe, about 18 years, if I'm not mistaken, has raced for Chevy, announced that he is going to retire from full-time NASCAR racing at the end of this year. He was offered a ride for next year, but it just seems, for whatever reason, he's decided... I guess, 38 years old, you start to think to yourself, do I want to keep doing this, all the time? And he decided that, I want to spend more time with my family, which is the usual excuse you hear. He's had a great career. I think it's a career that still left some things unfolded for, unrealized for him. I think he was, could have been a lot better driver than he was, but he was some, he won some nice races. He's had a great career. He's really known as one of the good guys in the sport, one of the great guys in the sport. I had a chance to meet him and interview him a few times along the way. And I guess he put a tweet out or a social media thing out that said he just didn't get the highs that he used to get from it anymore, that he just decided that, the grueling schedule of a NASCAR driver is a little bit too much, and he wants to spend time with his family, and he wants to race sprint cars. He's also big in sprint car racing, and there's a less of a grueling schedule with the little cars.
So he's going to keep his hand in it. Is he going to do any management or ownership or putting together some of the business ends of the NASCAR world?
Well, we'll see what happens. These guys usually wind up keeping, and again, he's going to have his sprint car team, which is gonna go over and I think he's been pretty successful at sprint car. I think for him, he wants something that, he can pick his races out. If you're in NASCAR, you can't pick all of your races. You gotta be out there every week. And, a great career. He won 18 times in 527 starts, 11 times his first six seasons. So he was the guy that went out there and made some nice money, back when he used to drive Red Bull, which I think was his first, team. But, a good guy, and it'll be nice to see him out at some of the sprint car tracks.
We're talking with New York Vinny. He's on the line with us. We've discussed a number of things about Toyota cars, about Casey Kane's retirement. Coming up, we're going to go to Pebble Beach, where it's very la-di-da. And also, would you like to stay in an RV, somebody else's RV, like a B&B? It's a possibility right after these words on News Radio 560 KPQ. News Radio 560 KPQ, it's 12:51. Friday's the gateway to the weekend, and the show is just about over. But we have a few items that we have to clear up with our pal New York Vinny, who's on the line with us talking about cars. There's a couple car shows coming up, one in Detroit and one in Monterey, California. One exactly the opposite of the other. Can you describe these for us, please?
Yeah, Mikey, Detroit, and I'm sure that, Detroit's going to be an interesting place this weekend, with the funeral of Aretha Franklin, and I want to talk about her quickly in a second, but the Woodward Avenue Cruise is this weekend, and if you've never been to this thing or never heard about this thing, it is, just the biggest rolling car show that you'll ever see. They take Woodward Avenue, which is a main street, used to be a place where the kids in Detroit used to race in the 60s, and every muscle car, every collector car in the entire region, in the entire Midwest, heads to Detroit for this incredible event. You can stand there for 3 days and see just about every type of American muscle car go by here at, you know, they don't race anymore down the streets, but it's just this 30-mile-long cruise that is, that represents every kind of possible, usually American, but there's obviously some foreign cars there too. But if you want to talk about, you know, big tank, big break, Copo Corvettes from 1963, if you stand on that corner long enough, you'll see one go by. If you want to talk about, you know, different cars that were sold by General Motors out of their Motorama fleet, you'll see one go by. It's the rarest of the rare of American cars go by. It's a big party that goes on this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday on Woodward Avenue in Detroit. Now, the other one, which is the exact polar opposite, starts on Sunday, and it's the Pebble Beach Concours d'Elegance. And you have to be able to say it to get into it, so you know I'm not going.
Oh, Benny, you're going to go.
Yeah, and this is the exact opposite. This is every high dollar, hoi polloi, foreign car that was made, like, you know, three cars by Enzo Stuardi or Enzo Ferrari or some kind of Enzo in his garage in Italy will be at the Concours d'Elegance. And they have different, you know, all these different kinds of collector cars, new cars, racing cars, the 24-hour of Le Mans cars that are there. If you're into the high-powered supercars, if you're into seeing three or four Bugatti Veyrons, which cost $1.5 million apiece, parked next to each other, this is the place you go. You know, on Woodward, you have women dancing in jeans and portal skirts, the 50s. You know, they bring out the San Francisco Symphony and park them down on the green down there at the Concours d'Elegance in Monterey to show off these cars at the Concours. But both shows, if you are a car enthusiast, should never be missed. You should plan sometime in your life to go to both of these shows because they are simply incredible shows.
I know we can't talk about Aretha Franklin very accurately in 30 seconds, but that's all we've got. Go.
Two songs, Freeway of Love, and the cover she covered, Bruce Springsteen's Pink Cadillac. I'm sure that her and Clarence Clemons will be up there doing Freeway of Love. Justin, the best singer that ever lived, Aretha Franklin.
Did you ever see her live?
I saw twice live.
I never did see her.
Incredible. Incredible, man. An incredible voice, incredible presence. It was, I still remember the last time, a couple of years ago in Cleveland, she came by to get a degree. She wasn't supposed to sing. She got up and sang with Lauryn Hill and Dennis Edwards of The Temptations and blew me out of my seat.
Of course. That's what she did so effortlessly. She had extraordinary power. Great life for Aretha Franklin. Thanks a lot, Vinny. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Peace, Mikey.
There's new York Vinny.